Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and tonight is part four of Financial Healing as a Spiritual Gift. This is what we have been talking about for this whole month of June 2016, and we're just delighted that you're with us today. What I wanted to do tonight, because we are winding down, this is part four, and usually we have a four-part series here on the PRF table, so we'll have another episode next week, but I really just wanted to give everybody just an opportunity to chime in one way, shape, form, or another. So if you are listening to us online, all you have to do is just go to our Facebook page. PRF Teaching Ministry is how you can get us there, or facebook.com/PRF. And if you're listening online, listening directly to the show, if you've called in to 347-215-7934, just press 1. We'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we'll bring you into tonight's conversation. Now, as I said, we've been talking about financial healing as a spiritual gift, and we have been coming from or dealing with, if you will, what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 12. And so just to give us a little bit of taking a step back so we can spring forward a little bit, when you talk about healing, what we've been saying over these last couple of weeks is really, really simple. Healing is not just a physical thing. Healing comes in so many different ways, shapes, forms. Who are we as individuals who have been created by God to determine exactly what spiritual gifts look like, what forms they're supposed to be? We cannot by any way stretch imagination. What we cannot do is box the spiritual gifts of God into what we only can conceive. Maybe there's a reason why Paul did not talk about financial healing as a spiritual gift. Maybe that wasn't a concern when he was addressing the churches at Corinth. But in today's time, it is a problem. Today's time, it is a concern. And if it is a concern in today's time, then we just have to do something to have our minds in a whole different perspective, because everything that was going on in the biblical days does not equal to everything that's going on in today's time. So we have to have wisdom to understand that we need a basis, we need a foundation for what's going on by having something that we can turn back to so we can see how God operated, so we can see how he has put things before us so that we can get the things that he's trying to give to us. When we talk about financial healing, first and foremost, is not the same as a financial miracle. Oftentimes, and I said this earlier on the previous show earlier today at 4 o'clock, one of the things that's so interesting is how we have individuals that come up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to my church, your church, and all other types of places, or come up to those of us who are clergy or pastors, who are ministers, and bring before us the different things that they're going through financially, and how they want God to give them a breakthrough, and how they need God to step in for their financial situation. And here's the question that I keep asking myself, and I keep putting it out there to us, not just here at the PRF table, but in other venues. If people keep coming time after time after time again, then what about asking them what's really going on? And I have to tell us that we have to do that, because it is real easy to see somebody who is struggling financially. It is easy to see somebody who is getting ready to get evicted or needs help with a light bill or has $25,000 worth of student loans and all these different areas that affect our possession, resources, and finances. It's easy to look at those things and want to give them some encouragement, want to give them something that is going to help them to soothe the pain, so to speak. When we do that, When you do that, those of you who are in position to be able to do that for individuals, when that happens, you have to understand that in those moments of crisis, that more people, more often than not, are not looking for a long-term solution. In those instances that I just gave to you, most often what you're going to find is people are looking for the short-term solution. Well, when people are looking for the short-term solution, I'm not advocating that we don't deal with the short-term solution, but what I am saying is, as the short-term solution is what you're going to deal with, you cannot put aside the long-term solution. It's really clear. Teach you how to fish, or I can give you a fish. Well, unfortunately, there's so many religious communities, there's so many places within our society right now that has helped to create this type of culture, if you will, where we just ask God for whatever it is and that he's just going to do it. And then it doesn't take us to do anything on our part except just believe. Well, that's not biblically accurate. That's not how everything just happened in the Bible. And when you're talking about something as delicate as financial healing, as healing, then you have to understand that that is nothing more than a process. And so we want you to just be so critically aware that if you are not willing to go through the process, then what you're really looking for is a miracle. And here's the thing with miracles. You have to be in the right position. You have to be in the right place. It has to be the right timing for that miracle to happen. So miracles don't happen just because you ask for a miracle. Miracles happen because God is trying to show some people who really don't have the faith to believe that I am all powerful. I am great. I have all control of all these things that's out here that's going on with all of you who I created. And I need to show y'all something so that you can grow closer to me, so that you can believe and see the power and the might that I have, because I'm God. I was explaining earlier that one of the things with just in my community, I said, look, my community, we have so many issues and so many challenges when it comes to possession, resources, and finances that it's not even funny. And so the question becomes, is that just my community or is that your community as well? If it's your community, then the question then becomes, what are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to do when you know that there are people that are in need of God's financial healing? And if I take us back to 1 Corinthians 12, I love what Paul says, and it is so clear, at least it is to me and some others. Paul says, it is written, as Paul has written in that chapter, God has given each one of us a spiritual gift. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, and that spiritual gift, the purpose of that spiritual gift is to help one another. And so since we already know that healing is one of those spiritual gifts that's listed in the first nine verses of the chapter, and then he talks about healing after he talks about the person gifts of the apostle and the prophet and the teacher, and then he talks about the gift of healing and all those other gifts. Since he's mentioned that, then that makes it a clear indication that those things are really, really important, even though every other gift is not there. And financial healing is just a component of healing. It's just a type of healing. So you have to be willing to embrace this whole notion that healing is just not physical. It is more than physical. And once you do that, I'm guaranteeing you this, you are going to put yourself in a better position, because the folks that don't believe anything about financial healing, they're just looking for God to just fix their problems. They just may not get it. When I talk about things going on, and when God gives us these topics for us to talk about every single month, one of the things that I like to do is to kind of help people understand why we're at a certain place. Sometimes God doesn't give it to me. This is the fourth episode of Financial Healing as a Spiritual Gift, and it's now just coming to me. God had me to go back to some research that was done over the last couple of years. And one of the things that has come out from this research, and the reason I'm going to read this is because if you don't think that this is affecting your community, which it may not affect every community in the country, but if you don't think that this is affecting your community, then I like to hear from you. We would like to hear from you. If your community doesn't have anything that we're about to read to you in the next couple of moments, if none of these things affect your community, I'm talking about your community that you live in, your church community, your family community, if nothing affects you, because your community is in a whole different place. We want to hear from you because we want to find out what do we need to do to help in your instance with your example. So here's some statistics. National statistics tell us that we are living in precarious financial times. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, although unemployment decreased annually from November 2009, it still remained at 5.8% in November 2015. So it started off almost 10% back in 2009. It didn't get that way over a couple of months, mind you, but that's where it was. So it had built up to get that high from previous years. But in 5 years, it still was at 5.8%. And what I'm saying is 5.8% is a dramatic increase. It's a good thing that it has gone down, that it's been reduced down to 5.8%. So here's the question. What about your community? I found out that in the state of Georgia, the rate of unemployment, I believe, was about 5.5% now. So it still is continuing to go down, or maybe it's 5.3%. But in another community, the reality is that it's like a 5.6%. So it's higher in this one particular community, the Fort Bend and Columbus, Georgia area, right, which you can also say expands over into the Phoenix City, but you can't because of state line. But you can kind of say it's all part of the same tri-city community. So the national rate of unemployment, I believe, was about 5.whatever. And then for the state of Georgia, I mean, but it's higher in that community that I was just talking about, Columbus, Georgia, Fort Bend, and Phoenix City, Alabama. So now the question is that something that is just not looked at? I mean, do we even have a concern that you have the unemployment rate is higher in the community than it is statewide? To me, that's a concern. I don't know about you, but that's a concern. And when I hear that, I want to know, okay, what are people doing about it? But more especially, I want to know, what do you think about it? What do you think about the unemployment in your community, Columbus, Georgia, Fort Bend, and Phoenix City? Is it something that needs to be addressed? I want to say yes all day long. It is something that needs to be addressed because unemployment affects everybody. When people are unemployed, sometimes people do things that they're not supposed to do. When people are unemployed, it puts them into a deep financial hole sometimes. Sometimes their possessions are affected. People get things repossessed when they're in unemployment. If you've been unemployed or you know individuals who have been unemployed, you realize that that's only a couple hundred dollars a week. And if you could have had a $100,000 job, you're not going to get $2,000 a week because you had a $100,000 job. You're going to get what the unemployment rate is. So the reality is it affects so many different communities. I'll keep on going. The Treasury Department calculated that the public outstanding debt for America, for the whole country, was over $18 trillion in November 2014. What that says to me is our country is in debt. But the reality is it's not the country that's really, really in debt. You got to break that thing down a little bit. What's the debt? Let's go to the nucleus. What's the debt of your family look like? See, you don't need to talk about what the national debt is. Tell me what the debt is in your household. Oh, that means you need to be probably doing a budget. You need to sit down with your husband or your wife. Y'all need to calculate some things. What's the debt in your own family? What's the debt in your church? Like, if you just ask, if everybody found out what their debt was, and let's bring all that together, we can say as 100 members, 100 members of this church, our debt is blank. What about the debt of the church? Whole nother story. What is the debt of the actual church? And then we can start talking about the community. And I'm bringing these things up because we're in this political climate right now. And this is one reason why I'm bringing it up. We're in this political climate right now where so many people are talking about Hillary, talking about Trump. And I'm like, who cares? I just want to be real with it. Who cares? At the end of the day, neither one of them are coming to certain communities. And since they're not coming to my community, I ain't seen none of them. I ain't seen none of these candidates down here. So the reality is they're not doing anything for my community. But I'm not looking for them to do anything for my community. You know who I am looking for? I'm looking for the church. I'm looking for God's people. And if God's people are the ones or will be the ones to step up and say, you know what, We can't allow homelessness. We can't allow people being unemployed. We can't allow people to be out there not able to have food. You know, you got people that are you got people that work that are homeless, that are living in their cars, but they got full-time jobs. I don't know about you. Something has to be wrong with that picture. Let me throw something else. I got a couple more statistics that I want to run to us. The average student loan debt per borrower was about $25,000, according to a report by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in 2012. $25,000. So what that means is we got people that are going to school, taking on student debt, but then they have to make certain decisions when they get out because that student debt is not going anywhere. So it's known, and everybody knows this. You're not just going to not pay your student loans and think it's not going to affect you. It's going to affect everything regarding your credit. And then that becomes something that affects possibly your resources, your ability to get a job, your ability to maintain a job. And so I'm throwing some of these things out so people can kind of understand what is some of the significance of hearing just what's going on in our world, what's been going on in our world, and then trying to take it to a perspective of what is it that we need to do. When I think about February, this is another one. February is a month where an increase in the filing of bankruptcies during the first quarter of the year in particular reveals that most of these debts are incurred during the months of November and December. So you know what that's telling us? People are making decisions during the holiday times that's affecting their future. And then what happens is when it affects their future, like, you know, a couple months down the road, it affects them for 10 years after that. Something is not right. Something is seriously wrong. What about this one? Financial conflicts between married couples that persist become important issues, are poorly handled, and remain unresolved. Do you hear that? Remain unresolved. And these are the things that cited as good indicators of one of the top five main reasons for a high divorce rate in America. Okay, so let's be real with this thing. If we know that if we believe those statistics, I mean, the statistics they're proven statistics. They're not something that anybody's made up in the air. If you believe that those statistics are real, there should be something going on inside of you saying, okay, we have to do something different. We have to do something better because this is not acceptable. Earlier I was talking about how the God's people in the book of Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. Some of y'all can probably quote that. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you hope and give you an expected end. You can take that scripture all day long, but in the big scheme of things, have you looked at context? See, we can't have people just, and this is one of the reasons why it makes it challenging doing some of the things that we do with TRF, because in the big scheme of things, if all you're going to do is take the one-liners and say, yep, that's for me, if all you're going to do is give people one-liners and people just grab a hold to it and they don't take anything else into context, then what's going to happen? People do not have the knowledge. They do not have the discernment to say, okay, I hear you, but what is it that I need to do? And when you take that scripture of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good, not for evil, or not for disaster, to give you hope, a future and a hope. That's good. But do you know what was happening for God to say that? If you go to the previous verse, it says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again. So that should be something that people can listen to and try to say, okay, let me try to be encouraged with this whole thing. Because at the end of the day, it's not about all these doggone quick fixes. And I am so tired of people not wanting to go through the process. I'm tired personally of it, of not wanting to go through the process. And when you look at and you try to take a scripture like Jeremiah 29:11, that was after being in captivity for 70 years. To somebody, that 70-year period may be symbolized by 2 years of unemployment. For somebody else, it may be symbolized today, 10 years with their credit, with bankruptcy being listed on their credit, or 3 years before they can get rid of it, or 7 years just for some regular negative things that's on their credit. But whatever that time period is, whatever God is allowing it to be, he's allowing it. Because if you really, really think about what happened, God put them in that position for 70 years. And why would God put his people into a position for a long period of time in captivity? Because of their disobedience. Because they didn't want to follow him. So God allows things to happen. This is not the message. I'm going to be real with you. This is not the message that you're just going to get on Sunday morning, because so often on Sunday morning, I don't want to go there. You ain't going to get this in a lot of places on Sunday morning. So the question then becomes, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with being in a place that is uncomfortable? How do you deal with being in a place that is like being captive with your finances? The reality is, for so many people, the amount of money that so many people make, every single paycheck doesn't change. Nobody's getting raises every 2 and 3 months. That's not normal. Not people working in the quote-unquote regular workforce. You may get a raise once a year. You may get a bonus at the end of the year. But every month, for the most part, most people's checks are the same. Every 2 weeks or every month, that's about, they know how much money they're going to be receiving in most jobs in this country. So then what you have to do is be able to say, if you're in that situation, I'm going to believe God for my financial healing. I'm not going to be trying to beg God to give me a doggone miracle. Because truth be told, so many people have placed themselves or allowed themselves to get into some of their financial situations or some of their situations with their possessions because of things they have done. But you know the reality of it is, so many people are not going to tell you what they've done. A person that has become unemployed doesn't have a lot of times the money after a while to take care of, depending on how much savings they have or, you know, how many, you know, somebody else being in the household to help out. They may lose something. They may struggle to pay something. But then if they're saying, well, the reason I'm in this situation because I lost my job 4 months ago. That's the surface thing oftentimes. No, that's not the total reason for why you may be dealing with this, sir. Why do you may be dealing with this, ma'am? Well, did you not have any savings? Well, no, I couldn't save. See, now we've identified one problem. You're saying what you couldn't have done. But if I really start thinking about it, if I start helping to help you peel back the onion, if you will, are we going to find out where you had money to save but you chose not to save? So it's not just the one thing, it's oftentimes multiple issues, multiple things that's actually going on. And when these multiple things are going on and we do not want to deal with them as a society, so many folks waiting on who becomes president. Stop that foolishness. God ain't never told none of us to wait to see who becomes president. If you know anything about politics, I have a master's of public administration, in case anybody wants to challenge me on this. The reality is that no matter who gets in office in November, and really it's not even in November, it's really in January, but once they take office, once they have that ceremony in January up in D.C., they don't have the ability just to totally just cancel everything out, because this train of government is constantly moving. It's always moving. And it's the same thing with what we're dealing with financial healing. We're constantly in this state of where people need financial healing. And so if that be the case, we can't sleep at it as believers. We can't sleep on it in the church. We can't sleep on it within our households. We can't sleep on it. if we sleep on it, then you're going to be in the same position time after time after time again. And like I've said before, especially this month, God is tired of his people going through what they're going through with their possessions, their resources, and their finances, particularly with their finances. It cannot please God for somebody to have something repossessed. It cannot please God for somebody to have a foreclosure. It cannot please God for somebody not to have a will and then they die and then their stuff is tied up in probate courts or tied up because family members are fussing and fighting, regardless of whether you know it or not. That can't please God. So it's really time for us to really get it together, because once we do what we have to do as the body, things become a whole lot easier. Once we do the things that we need to do as individual households and then collective households and then collective individual churches and then collective churches, it becomes a whole lot better for everybody. We are the ones that are supposed to be the light of the world. So if we're the light of the world, we can't be the ones that's out here with all with our stuff jacked up as collective faith communities. I asked a question a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, and I asked this because I was really serious. I want to know who has the gift of financial healing. I want to know who has the gift of administration. I want to know who has a gift of spiritual gift of leadership. There's a couple others that I put out there. I want to know who has a spiritual gift of giving. Lord knows PRF wants to know who has a spiritual gift of giving. We want to be a recipient of that gift. I want to know who has a spiritual gift of teaching so that you can become a facilitator of PRF teaching ministry. Because Lord knows those of us who are here presently, we know we can't teach everywhere all the time. So it's really, really going to take some of us to step up. This whole thing of just waiting on God just to give it to us, when God is saying, what are you going to do? And I love how, again, going back to what Paul said, your spiritual gifts are for you to help one another. And so if it's to help one another, where's the help? I really want to know who has the I really want to know in my church. I really want you to know in your church who has these gifts. Because some of the help that so many people need in the church is probably sitting right there in the church. And if it's not sitting in that church, that doesn't mean that it's not there. What it actually means is you may have to go down the street, around the corner, across the bridge to another church to be the recipient of that gift. But if you're not out there seeking it, how can you expect everything just to come to you? I don't know about you, but it's real. And it's going to come a time.
Well,
it's coming a time, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Adia.
Well, that's what I was, just listening to everything you were saying. And one of the biggest things that I wrote down was the education piece. You know, you talked about the person who says, don't make enough money, or, talk about budgeting, or, but it's the education piece. And sometimes, what I have noticed, and I'm beginning to realize, that people are identifying what their issues are, but they don't have the education to do anything about it. So yeah, I can say that I don't have a budget, or I can say, I got problems with my credit, but if they also are not aware that they lack the education to be able to do something about it, then it's just it's a continual conversation piece. And I think the awareness and the education, definitely go both hand in hand. So if somebody thinks that, they're okay, and I remember you posting about the financial healing, that question, I was just like, if people don't think that they have a problem, or if they think that because they have certain things in place, well, you know, I budget, or I know how to do a budget, but if they're not budgeting, then you're still in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? You're not able to, you're still trying to make ends meet. So you have a budget, but if you do the budget, then you'll be able to see exactly where your money is going. So I think it's a combination of several different things. And the first one being the education, well, probably not even that one, but the awareness. Like, I don't sometimes think that people actually listen to what they're saying. They will identify every issue. And then if somebody comes along and says, hey, I can help you with that, now all of a sudden they got all of the answers. Oh, well, I got a budget. Oh, well, you know, I got this in place. Oh, well, you know, I've been down to the church, and when they came and had the financial, you know, had the financial classes, you know, now they start giving you all of the stuff that they have, but yet they're still unaware of the situation that they're in. And that, to me, adds to the problem, because what happens is that people become closed-minded, so they can't receive what it is that you're saying to them, because they got a little bit of knowledge or are not even aware that what they're saying is that they've identified the problem, but that's all that they've done. And so I just think, you know, the awareness of people actually hearing what they're saying and then being receptive and open-minded to hear what someone is that has the wherewithal to teach them and can walk them through the process to where the information is not just given to them but retained and put to use. I heard a lady earlier today, she was saying, you know, we can't just be hearers of the word. Well, you know, I don't think that just limits us to the word of God. I think it extends to, we just can't be a hearer of the PRF on Thursdays. I just can't be a hearer of, you know, the article that I read that, you know, that says, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. I can't just be a hearer, but I must also be a doer. And we have a lot of people that have heard or was in a position to hear and they just didn't hear, but they're not doing. And the doing is the action part, you know. And I think sometimes what has happened in the American society and in our communities is that we have gotten used to working a job to where when you go to work, you're going to have somebody to tell you exactly what to do. And sometimes they may not tell you how to do it, but they're telling you what to do, and you have the training on how to process it and get it done. But we don't have a lot of people that are doing activity, which is, you know, having to come up and put together a schedule and put together a lesson plan, you know, for a room full of 20 adults, or to be able to make phone contacts and do all of those different things. People have gotten used to being told what to do. And so when people come at them to say, hey, you can better your life by doing X, Y, and Z, by applying the word of God to your life, all of a sudden people have all of the answers, yet their situation has not changed. So it's a combination of a lot of different variables, but that was just the one that I wrote down. And I think the other part, I think I talked about the other one, which is being not just being a hearer but a doer, but also just being open-minded. You know, if people are not willing, if Adia is not willing to hear what Nate has to say that could help me, then regardless of me wanting to live a better life, it's pretty hard to do if you're not open-minded. And so
right.
My prayer is, you know, as I'm talking to people, is that God, let their minds be open to not just hear me or tolerate me, but to receive what is being said, you know. And it doesn't even matter what it is. You know, if you're trying to teach somebody how to cook, you know, they maybe have the attitude, you know, well, my mother taught me how to cook. Well, did your mother ever go to school to be a chef or culinary school or anything like that? No. Well, I'm going to show you some things that I learned from culinary school. You know, can you just be open to receive it? And if people are open to receive, it's kind of like living in a room where it's just been dark, and somebody comes and just opens the window, and all of the sunlight begins to flood in. And it's just like this warm feeling, this brightness that comes to you like I never knew. And so I would want people to just have that desire to say, to have that feeling of I never knew that all of this was out here for me. And a lot of times people aren't willing to hear because they aren't aware of what their situation is, or they're so closed-minded because they got a little, you know, they got a little bit of knowledge or whatever. You know, I learned about, you know, about wills, or I learned about credit, you know, from when I was in college. Or, you know, things have changed. Like credit score, the credit score has changed. It used to be, I think, was it 750? Now it's 800 and something. So if you're going off of what you learned 10, 15 years ago, you're behind. And so we just got to, we can't allow ourselves, I can't allow myself to think that I have enough information to make an informed decision when there's somebody out there that has researched it, that has written the lesson plans, that has taught people, that has certifications in the field that I am trying to get better in. And I think that's important for us to remember when we think about financial healing, that there are people that God has strategically placed to be in your life to help you at that appointed time. But if you miss it every time because, you know, you got all of life answers but don't have a New York bestseller, then you'll miss it every time and you'll be stuck. And it's time to get unstuck. It really is. And start being more concerned about where we are and where we're trying to get to. And that's pretty much it. That's what I have for now.
Well, let me – and what you just said – Adia was, it lines up with this brother that I'm going to bring and let him speak for a couple of moments. And this brother, he's doing just what you were talking about. And so let us welcome Pastor Quinn Thompson to the PRF table. We want to just welcome him. Pastor Thompson, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Doctor. And yourself?
We are doing well. We are doing well. She kind of laid it out for you without even knowing she was going to lay it out for you. So we just want to opportunity just to talk about what's about to go down this weekend in your area. And I think people need to know it because there's something big going on, and we want people to be able to get what God has for them. We're talking about financial healing as a spiritual gift, and you can't get something if you're not willing to go and get it. So I just want to give you the opportunity to just let the listeners of the PRF table know what's going on, and let's see whatever we can do to support it on our end.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for giving me this time and opportunity, Dr. Dunlap. So this weekend we'll be having something called the Prophetic Prayer Encounter, and I used to do this every other month before, where it was just focused on the spiritual need of healing. But as we pull back and regroup, I've seen that there's more than just spiritual healing that we need. And I always believe in putting practical things with the Spirit. The Bible says that we're first natural, then we're spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then so then we have to do something to make sure that we're empowering the people so that they can know that God is not just about a jump and a shout. So this weekend, what we'll be doing on Friday night is a prayer shut-in, where we'll be focusing in on five things, such as praying for the families, praying for the leadership, clergy as well as political. We'll be also praying for revival, churches, and for God to have his way, and a spiritual healing to take place on that Saturday night. Then Friday morning will be at Piccadilly in Northlake, where we'll be having
Friday.
Dr. Dunlap. Pardon?
Is that going to be Friday or Saturday?
Friday is the prayer.
Okay.
At the church, Clarkston Community Center. And then Saturday morning will be at Piccadilly, where we'll be talking more, focusing on the financial healing.
Amen. And then what's going on Sunday? Is there anything going on Sunday as well?
On that Sunday, it'll be closing out in the service at the Clarkston Community Center at 12:30 noon.
Okay.
And that address is 3701 College Avenue in Clarkston, Georgia, 321.
Okay. And I have the address for Saturday. On Saturday, it's going to be at Piccadilly in Tucker, Georgia. That address is 2000 Crescent Center Boulevard, if I'm not mistaken. So,
correct.
How can the people that are listening and those that want to be a part of this awesome event, Pastor, how can they connect? Is there any tickets that are involved, or is it just, you know, anybody just come as they're led, or does anything else have to be done?
Yeah, it's open to the public all times. Right now, Eventbrite, they can purchase tickets on there. Unfortunately, it is a fee if they purchase it through Eventbrite. Or the other option is if they show up on Saturday, they can pay at the door. It'll be just regularly $20 for adults and $10 for kids 13 and under.
Okay, okay. Well, we are looking for to have a good time on, especially on Saturday, Saturday morning. I have a couple of other engagements out of town, but I will definitely be there on Saturday, and we're just going to trust and believe God for God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and really just teach the people just some simple, basic things. I'm with you, Pastor. It doesn't take a lot sometimes. It just takes us to just sit our tail down sometimes so that we can hear what thus saith the Lord. And once we do that, then the next thing after that is doing what thus says the Lord. You know, we can't get stuck on just the hearing part. We have to also put that faith into action. So we look forward to it. We look forward to it. I know that you have to get back to something now, but it's on our website, so they can go to prfministry.org, and also on your website. Is there a website for you at this time?
There is. The one that's on the poster is still in progress, under construction, but they can go to kingdomrestorationchurch.org. Again, that's kingdomrestorationchurch.org.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, my brother, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday morning, and thank you for just doing this for your community. This is one of the things that we really, really have a big heart for. It's for people to do things in their community that's going to benefit their communities. Looking forward to seeing and being a part of everything that God has, and we'll be talking soon. We'll be talking soon.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Brother, God bless you. Padilla, that's Pastor Quinn Thompson, Kingdom Restoration Church in Clarkston, Georgia. Cousin, I can tell you that something that you said about, you know, what we say and how people say it, I'm going to tell you, this is just how God works. I was talking about that same thing. I was talking about this whole thing about language earlier on our 4 p.m. show. And I was talking about from that book that I brought up before, Responses to Suffering. In that chapter 14, it talks about the language of healing. And the whole thing is, if we want God to heal, then you can't use the language that is contradicting the language of healing. You can't, I mean, you can't expect it. You can't, with one part of your mouth or one part of your being, say, well, you know, I guess I'm going to be like this all the time. But then go up to the altar on Sunday talking about God fix me. And then when you go talk to somebody on Monday on the phone, yeah, I feel so bad. It's like, hold on, you're bipolar. You know, James talks about that little bipolar thing a little bit about being double-minded, right? So one thing that I want to encourage people, I mean, just get the book. It's called Responses to Suffering by Lauren Brodus. And in this book, there was five ladies who had breast cancer. And they were really just trying to do two things in this book. One was offer people a different way of thinking about breast cancer. And then the other was offer ways on how to talk with women who were living with it. And we're doing the same thing, if you really think about it, with PRF. We're really trying to get people to think differently about their possessions, their resources, and their finances. And then the other part of it is we're trying to get, trying to help ministerial leaders, pastors, clergy, ministers, religious leaders, on how to communicate with people in this area. It doesn't mean that you have to be the one communicating. You can communicate by having somebody to call PRF or call your fellow pastor down the road. And when I think about stuff like that, if we're not willing to have, I'm talking about real deal dialogue, cuz, what are we doing? if all we want to do is throw one-liners as far as scriptures are concerned, what are we really, really, really doing? It has to go beyond there. And everybody's not equipped to give everything, so people have to be careful and cautious in the same token of going to places and people who are not speaking from the voice of God. I love how one of the things that helped me as I was reading this chapter, and I've read it several times, you know, they were saying, look, they don't want to be considered, these are the four ladies in the book, we don't want to be considered like we are just these victims out here. We don't want to seem like all we're doing is just living on a battlefield, like we're just fighting and battling this thing called cancer. No, that's not what we're doing. That's what you're saying that we're doing, but that's not what we're doing. They understood what the diagnosis was, and they had to go through whatever the steps. So when they told them they had to do chemo, they did chemo. But the question becomes, how do you go through it and not lose everything in the process? It's only going to be by the Spirit of God.
I was going to say, you know, I'm just listening to you, and you said it, you know, by the Spirit of God. But how do we know the Spirit of God? You have to be in the Word of God, and you have to speak life to yourself and to your circumstances, to your situation. You have to speak, like you said, what is the opposite of poverty? You have to be able to say, God, you said I will possess the land little by little. You know, that I will be the lender, not the borrower. And until because what I have noticed is that people are just negative. That's not how God created us. Like, I don't believe that that's how God created us. But people are so negative. If we listen to the conversations and the things that people say, it is negative. Oh, you know, diabetes running my family, so, you know, I'm probably going to get it too. Why? Who says that you have to get it? My mother didn't go to college, so, you know, that means even though I got good grades, I'm probably not going to be able to go either. Says who? Who is saying these things? Well, you know, I got some good ideas, you know, of some inventions, but I don't have the money to do it, or such and such said this about me, or they said I couldn't. Compared to what? I don't think I'm going to be able to get this done because it's too big. Compared to what? We have had people that have defeated the odds over and over and over again. And if the self-talk is continually negative, then that's what people will always get. And I'm not sure, and I'm really not convinced, not trying to judge nobody, that people are aware of that, that it is negative self-talk. And the Word of God makes it clear that as a man thinketh in his heart, out of the heart flows the issue. And if people understand that the words that they say, the power that it has, I really believe that you have to be in the Word of God. In order to know the Spirit of God, you have to be in the Word of God. In order to know that you have life and have it more abundantly, you have to know that those are the words that Jesus said. In order for us to know that there's a purpose for us, you got it. Jeremiah 29:11 is awesome. But it does say some other things that you got to be able to do too, that some people may not want to do. Because as you were speaking on that, I was like, they ain't read the verse before it or the few after that. But to know that Jesus prayed for us before we were even on the earth. He prayed for those during his time, and then he prayed for those, he said, for those that are to come. And so if you don't know that Jesus already prayed for you, for your well-being, like you said, it's kind of hard to, you know, you go into the altar and you're believing God to do something, but you just convince yourself that it's not going to work, even though you went to the altar. It's counterproductive, you know. And so I just believe that if we begin to speak positive words of affirmation to ourselves, you know, that we will. I know I'll definitely. I am seeing a change. I said to my son yesterday, he's like, "Ooh, mommy, you scared me." And I was just joking with him. He's 5, so he doesn't know. But I was like, "Oh, you trying to say I'm ugly?" He said, "You shouldn't say that, mommy. That's not nice." He said, "You're not ugly." He said, "You are beautiful." And I was like, I was just joking with him. But he took it literal that I was calling myself ugly. And I thought about what he said. I said, "You know what? I said, if this 5-year-old can recognize that I had said something negative and corrected me not to say that again, I said, how many more things have I said and just being joking around that could have produced the reality of things that I said? And so that made me think yesterday, like, you know what, you can't even be jokingly saying stuff because it may paint your reality. And I don't want to do that, you know. And so I love what you said, Nate, about our words. They have power. I mean, because if we look at how the world was created, everything that is here, every mountain, every grain of sand, it was spoken into existence. Spoken into existence. And at the end of all of it, God says it is good. And when he got to, you know, after he did all everything, he said it was very good. And so our words do have power. And we have to believe God, but we have to be in the word and you know, and have people that are going to speak life to us and that will not allow us to speak anything other than what is going to get us to our destiny, which what is going to get us to, you know, to our purpose, which is whether it's helping people, whether it is, you know, doing a whole bunch of teaching, leading, advising, whatever it is. And I like that what you said because it just hit home and it hit home and just resonating within my spirit.
That's good. And since you were sitting there when I was reading, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 and then I read, you know, from that verse before, verse 10, and you said, you know, have they read what else is going on? So I'll say now, I know we're winding down for this today's show, but I'll say this. What about the beginning of the chapter? When you go to just the beginning of the chapter and you realize, who is this being spoken to? Who was Jeremiah writing this letter to? Jeremiah wrote this letter from Jerusalem, but he wrote it to some specific people. And see, you got to understand, because we know this, we got to understand the order of God. God is a God of headship, right? He first writes, the first person in the list is the elders. The second person is the priest.
Yep.
And then the prophet, and then all the people who have been exiled. So you know what that tells me? If Jeremiah is sitting over there in Jerusalem and he's writing to God's people who are sitting in Babylonian captivity, that means wasn't just the people going through this, but you had the prophets that was captive. You had the priests who also were captive, and you also had the elder. So what that tells us is God allows the same thing to happen to the people in the pews, to the same folk in the pulpit. You can't just act like it ain't happening to people in the pulpit. It says something when you're experiencing the same thing that everybody else is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you gain a deeper appreciation when you know when they know what you're going through just as much as you know what they're going through. See, it's easy as a minister, dear, right? Because people come to us, and they're telling us about their issues and their concerns and their hurts and their pains. But it's different when you can say, well, you know what? My credit score jacked up like yours, so don't feel too bad. I'm not feeling bad about it. I know God has us. He has my back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for everybody. Because everybody doesn't have that. Everybody, so many other folks that are in our position still are dealing with their own shame, their own guilt, their own emotions, their own ignorance. And so the reality is you got folks that's trying to encourage folk in an area that they doggone need help themselves. And because they need help themselves, they're not doing anything to help the people to get the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
See, this may not sell tickets to a PRF learning session, but it's okay because the ones who need it and the ones who God puts it on their heart, those are the ones that's going to come every time. when we have some learning sessions that's coming up. I'll just put it out there now. If you go onto our website, prfministry.org, and you go to our calendar, you'll see for the month of July, we have several learning sessions that are scheduled. We have one that is scheduled on July the 11th, and that is going to be at his gathering house in Phoenix City, Alabama. That cohort 16F, is where we're going to be teaching on personal financial inventory. So we ask everybody just to go on and register now, because we will be closing registration a week before, so we don't have so we're not unprepared for those that were there, and so we can pray for God to do what he needs to do with us before we stand before y'all. And then for the 3 Mondays, we have the cohort 16G, which is going to be for will you or will you not. And the same thing, we would love for everybody to have all four, but if you could just do the first one, we understand. But here's what I want, Didia. This is what I want. This is my prayer. My prayer is that pastors will send their people, and that they also will come too. Because I'm telling you what I know, that a whole bunch of religious leaders in my community, in this community where these lessons are going to be held, are not doing good financially. So why not come and get the same thing so that you can stand up there, and when you stand up before the people talking about tithes and offerings, you don't be a hypocrite knowing that you can't afford to do it, just like other folk can't afford to do it. We have to do what's necessary to crush the enemy's head, to put the enemy up under our foot. And it's not going to come just because we just say, oh, let me just say a prayer on Sunday. Mm-mm. You got to put some action to that thing. So I want to see half the people that come for this learning session, I want half of them to be pastors. That's what I'm going to pray for. The half the people that come, and we're limited to 25 people, I want half of them to be pastors. I would love it, Adia, if all of them are pastors and clergy. That would just blow my mind. I would love for it to be all. Because, again, I go back to Jeremiah 29. The letter was written to the elders and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people. And here's what God told Jeremiah to say to them. To all y'all that's captive, here's what I want y'all to do. While you're captive, while you're going through this for 70 years, while you're in this Babylonian captivity under Babylonian rule for 70 years, 70, I want y'all to build homes and plan to stay for a while. That's what the word said. That ain't me making it up. I want y'all to build homes and plan to stay for a while. What? That defies, like, logical reasoning. Hold on. God has sent his people into captivity, and then he's going to tell them, y'all get comfortable. Huh? It don't even sound right, but that's what God said. Plant gardens. Eat the food from what you produce. Marry and have children. Make sure that y'all are finding spouses for those so that y'all can have many grandchildren. I want you to multiply. I don't want you to dwindle away. That's what God said. I don't want you to dwindle away. And it's the same thing for people that are in need of financial healing. I don't want you to dwindle away while you're waiting on those 7 years for your credit to fall off your credit report. I don't want you dwindling away while you're waiting for those years for that bankruptcy to fall off your credit report. I don't want you dwindling away while you're in between jobs. So there's something that everybody's going to have to do in this time of what they're dealing with from in respect to their possession, the resources, and their finances. And the beauty of this thing was God loved them so much, Adia. He loved them so much that he gave them instructions on what to do. This is what I want y'all to do. And the reason he gave them instructions is when we read it later on. After that 29:11, right? Because in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me with your whole heart, you'll find me. I will be found by you. I will end, and this is the powerful piece right here. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. That's a promise. but they had to go through 70 years to get to the place of God ending the captivity and restoring their fortunes. And so this is about to be my last comment. So here, this is where we're at. Whatever your 70-year, whatever your captivity moment is, those of you who are listening,
mm-hmm.
God opens that door when God lifts up the veil, when God cracks the blinds. Do you close the blinds back? Do you close the door back? Do you not even walk through the door? Or are you so comfortable because it's been comfortable in that place for so long where you've married, grown your own food, built houses? No, that was a temporary thing. The permanent thing is when God restores. It's restoration. God ain't taking folks through this just to be taking them because he don't love them. What did Jesus say when the apostle said in the book of John, John chapter 5, or I think it was John chapter 5, I'm getting it wrong, but it's in John because I'm excited right now. Well, who was it that sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Mm-hmm.
And what did Jesus say to him? It was neither his parents nor him who sinned, but that the power of God might be made manifest in that situation. And so when we talk about to wrap this whole thing up a deal, when we deal with this thing from the perspective of financial healing as a spiritual gift, it's something to be received. It is a I don't know if people understand it or not, but I want them to understand, for God to give you the gift of financial healing is a beautiful thing. For God to allow certain things to happen after your 7 years of having bad debts. For God to allow certain things to put you in a better position after the bankruptcy comes off your credit in 10 years. You know how beautiful that is? But those things do not happen unless you do what you need to do during the time, which means you got to go through the process. And if you go through the process, then you put yourself in a position to receive that spiritual gift. And then once you get it, you got a doggone responsibility. That thing ain't just for you. It's for you to be able to go give God the glory for what God has done and what God alone has done. Even though other people may have been involved, you got to recognize and make sure people know, yeah, my credit was jacked up, but look at this house that I was able to finance and not get, you know, a 22% interest rate on it. I mean, you know, houses usually are not 22%, but and not to have to get a 12% interest rate on my house. That's the stuff that we need to be talking about. That's the stuff that people need to hear so people can have some hope. But if ain't nobody doggone talking about it, I could tell you about it. We could talk all day long about all the blessings that God has given us and all the challenges that God has allowed us and caused us to go through and what he's done at the end. But you ain't encountering us except for every Thursday, twice a day. What about the folks you see every single day out there at Bliss? You got more of an influence on them than I do. Because they're with you all the time. Just like our kids get more influenced by us as parents. Well, excuse me. Just like our kids get more influenced by our teachers or their teachers than they do for us because they spend more time with them on a weekly basis. They got the ability to just pour so much into our children. I'm done, Adia. I'm done. Cousin, what you got for us?
So these are my just closing remarks.
Okay.
I just want us to stay in a place of knowing who's in control and being encouraging and positivity because it will take you further. You know, we know what it's like to have people beat us down with words, whether it's in church, in our homes, in schools. We know what that is like. But to be able to be transformed to where having encouraging words, positive words, words of affirmation, those are things that will let us know that it's not over. It's not over until it's over. And as long as there's breath in your body, it is not over. So just stay encouraged, continue to speak positive words. If you're not speaking positive words, start speaking them, because you will see how they will begin to change your thought process to where when you want to say that something can't work out, you begin to have a glimpse of hope to say that it can work out and that it will work out until you see it work out. And that's all I have for tonight.
Amen. Well, listen, everybody, we thank you for taking the time to spend with us tonight, and we just ask that you just receive this spiritual gift that God is trying to give to you, a financial healing. So join us again. This will be week 5, our last episode dealing with financial healing as a spiritual gift, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Visit our website once again, prfministry.org, prfministry, MINISTRY.org. And follow us on Facebook at PRF Teaching Ministry or facebook.com/PRF. And we hope to see those of you who are in that Atlanta, it's Tucker, Georgia, but that's the Atlanta area. So we hope to see you on Saturday morning to listen to more about financial healing. And it's going to be different. You know, these learning sessions, when we're doing them in person, is a whole lot different than the radio. So we just want everybody to come on out and not just for the event that we'll be at, but just consider what God may have already in store for you on Friday, not just Saturday because the PRF Teaching Ministry will be there, but Friday and then also on Sunday as well. So we just look forward to just fellowshipping with Kingdom Restoration Church. And again, we thank Pastor Quinn Thompson for the invite to be a part of this wonderful event that's coming up. And so with that, we just tell you God bless you, we love you, and we will see you next Thursday. Have a good week.